Good evening, welcome to Eternal Affairs Media's live interview tonight with the Pastor Carl Gallops. Brought to you by eternalaffairsmedia.com. Your host tonight is myself, Andrew Schechter, the host of the Politically Incorrect podcast on Podbean every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Tonight we have it back for the, believe it's the fourth time, our great guest, one of the most interesting, fascinating people that I've ever met. Love to speak with him. It's Pastor Carl Gallops. He's going to, rather than do a full intro like I'm normally do, I'm going to allow the pastor to tell a little bit about himself and his latest books he has and where you can find him on the online. Then we're going to get into our topic tonight. The topic tonight is the spirit, the human spirit, and the spirit of God. Pastor, take it away. Tell a little bit about yourself and about your latest works.
Well, thank you, Andrew, for having me. Bottom line is I'm a little man serving a big God. Now, just so people just kind of know something of my background, I've been the pastor of one church on the Gulf Coast for 35 years. I came there 35 years ago out of a career of law enforcement. I'm in Northwest Florida, right around Pensacola. It's in Milton, which is a suburb of Pensacola, the home of the Blue Angels and Pensacola Naval Aviation Center, Air Center in the Navy. And so anyway, I've been there 35 years pastoring this church. Prior to that, I spent 10, almost 11 years in Florida law enforcement. Most of that time was spent with two different sheriff's offices under three different sheriffs as a patrol officer, and in one of them doing my own criminal investigations and working directly with the criminal investigation department. So got a lot of good life experience. In the meantime, my church family has really, really encouraged me and allowed me to do a lot outside the church, missions and ministry and trips to Israel and teaching and preaching and conferences and writing books. I've written 13 books now, the 13th one that's coming out in October of this year, 2022. One came out earlier this year, and that's put me all over media, all over television and radio, most of it Christian, but some of it even secular, both TV and radio. And so it's given me a huge platform to speak of the deep truths of the Word of God. And so I'm so honored to be with you, Andrew, and your program and the platform you give me here. So God bless you. I hope that wasn't too boring, but just letting people know who's talking to them.
No, just like you might want to say where your website is so they could find your YouTube channel. I don't know if you.
Yeah. It's really easy. CarlGallops.com. That's my name, of course. Carl Gallops, CarlGallups.com. And there you can see everything about me. The link to my church is there. All of my past sermons are there for years. Audio, video, TV, videos I've made, articles I've written. It's all on one page, one big index page, easy to navigate. There's an email there. There's an address there. I mean, a phone number. You can get it. You can contact my office directly. Somebody will either handle you directly or get in touch with me to talk to you. Plus you can order the books that I've written. All the books I've written have been with two major publishers, WND Books out of Washington, DC for my first five books. My last seven or eight, I can't remember how many I've written with them now, Defender Publishing out of Crane, Missouri. They're connected to Skywatch Television. I'm all over CBN, CTN, Skywatch, Jim Baker Show, Herman and Sharon Show, Dorothy Spalding Club 36, and on and on and on. So anyway, you can find all of that there at carlgallops.com, and thanks for letting me say that.
No problem. Don't forget eternalaffairsmedia.com as well. All of our, this is our fourth interview, so you're over there too.
And by the way, I can't believe this is my fourth time. I mean, my first time I was honored. All of the other three times have been sheer surprises.
There you go. Well, we're going to have a lot of fun tonight. Do you know in the Bible, one of the most used words, both in Hebrew and in the translations and transliterations, is the word spirit and spiritual, but spirit in particular. So we're going to talk about spirit tonight. Now, one of the interesting open, I'm going to open with Numbers 14:24. I think it's 24. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. What in the name of Dickens is he talking about? And then we're going to go ahead and talk about the spirit, how it survives eternity, and where we go when we die. It's going to be interesting. What do you think about that Numbers 1424? What is that spirit?
Yeah, well, Andrew, first of all, I don't have it right in front of me, so I don't know the whole context. I'd have to study it out. But listen, what you're talking about, can I just do kind of a broad introduction? And I think it might answer that about numbers.
That's exactly what I'm hoping.
Okay, yeah. And I want your audience to know, look, I'm not going to go weird on anybody. First of all, my platform for all truth from God's throne that has been given to us is through his word. Okay. So, and not just the word, but the contextual word, how it ties together. In other words, in the New Testament, there's a passage in the book of John where Jesus said, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood if you're going to follow me. Well, if you just take that verse, does that mean we have to be cannibals in order to follow Jesus? Well, some people have said, yeah, that's what it means. But the verses before it, the verses after it, and the whole context of the Word of God make it very clear that he's talking about his own sacrifice. He's talking about the Lord's Supper. He's talking about the day of passion. He's talking about the crucifixion. He's talking about sold out commitment to him because he has sold out commitment to you. Okay, so there's the context. It's the same thing with this word spirit. That word is used several times in several nuanced ways from Genesis to Revelation. So let me just, can I do a general teaching about that first?
Absolutely. And of course, you know, there's a spirit of God too, which is the spirit that comes within. So you can go wherever you want.
Okay.
You know where we're headed with this, Pastor.
Yeah, I think I do. So let me do that. Of course we begin in Genesis 1:1 and 1, you know, in chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, where it speaks of, you know, God created the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep. By the way, that's the same language that Gabriel used with Mary. When she said, how can I have a child? I'm paraphrasing. She said, I've never been with a man. How can this happen? He said, but the Spirit of God will overshadow you. That means he will hover over you. He will overshadow you. And then what happens is an embryo that is not connected to Mary's blood, it's certainly not connected to Joseph's blood, is created in her womb because God speaks it. It's that same language of Genesis that the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep. And then God said, let there be light, let there be dry ground, let there be the sun and the moon and the stars, let there be animals, let there be fish, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the power, the person, the presence of God himself, okay? So we find it in Genesis 1, we find it in Matthew 1, all right? So there's the Holy Spirit of God, of course, and I could teach for hours just on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, and I know that's not what you're asking me to do, so I'll move along, but we have that. Now, we also hear the word spoken of spirits throughout the scriptures. We do know generally, to the best of my memory, and that most of the time that word is used with an S, it's usually speaking of the demonic realm, but not always. But also, I think of when Paul told Timothy, look, Timothy, God has not given you a spirit of fear. Almost all the scholars agree that what that word means there is he hasn't given you this demonic attack, this demonic presence of fear. Fear is a demonic spirit, if you will. And he said, but yet he has given you a spirit of power and love and of a sound mind. Well, where does that come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit of God. And so there's that. Then we speak of the spirits of those who have gone on from us. Okay, that's because we are relegated to a physical realm. We are earthy beings. We are like, here's the example I use. We're like the fish at the deepest bottoms of the oceans in 4 or 5 miles deep, Marianas Trench, the aquatic life down around those hydrothermal vents, shrimp and crustaceans and some types of fish and some types of plant life. I mean, we've discovered this. We know that's true. Well, that life down there not only do they have no idea that we even exist, but they have no way to get to us to even find out if we exist. On the other hand, so in other words, if a you know, ocean bottom fish could somehow make its way up through the blackness of what they would consider to be forever and forever. It's no end, but there is. It's just a dimensional shift. They have to come up through the surface of the water. Now, they cannot live in an oxygenated atmospheric condition. They have to live in the with the bodies they're equipped to live in the water where they draw their oxygen, et cetera, through their gills, et cetera. So, but if they come up, let's just say they had the ability, they were turned into, they were transformed, if you will, into the likeness of human beings, and they could look around and see and say, oh my gosh, look, there's another realm of existence that not only is just above us, by 4 or 5 miles, but you know, to them that was an eternity. That was an impossible journey because they would explode going up. They weren't equipped to go all the way up 5 miles up from the bottom of the ocean. But let's say they did, for the sake of this illustration, and they had eyes to see like we have. They were looking through a glass dimly, but now they can see. See, I'm pulling from scripture here. Now they understand that there is a whole different existence just above them. It is just as physical and real as their existence, yet very different, much more beautiful, much more delicate, much more involved and intricate, because not only are there 8 billion humans up there, but there are 27 million other species of life. Not only that, but there's the microscopic level. Not only that, but there's the telescopic level. See, they've never seen any of this stuff. Not only that, but there's the level of deep space. They've never fathomed that. Not only that, but there's the sub-microscopic level of quantum mechanics, quantum physics. They've never even fathomed that. All of these are other dimensions of physical realities. Well, we know the word of God, so not only that, but there's a spiritual level. Paul tells us our battle is not against flesh and blood. Let me just insert this. What Paul is saying is we're like fish at the bottom of the ocean. There is another physical reality that wraps around us that is real. See, that's what we do to the fish. This whole earth wraps around those fish 4 miles deep, but the fish don't know it. They don't know they're on a giant ball hanging in space, revolving around the sun in a galaxy, in a solar system, in a spiral galaxy on the edge of this amazing spiral galaxy, which is hanging in a universe with trillions of other galaxies. They don't have a clue about any of that. But you know what? We know that it is all fact. It is all reality. And it is all physical. But each one of those levels I just described is a different physical reality than ours. Yet it's physical. Well, now here we are earthbound. But let's not forget, the Bible is clear. There was another dimension that we used to live in. It was called the Garden of Eden. It was on planet Earth, apparently, is what the Bible's pretty clear about. But yet God closed it off and guarded it with 4 cherubim, dropped the curtain, if you will, on that dimension of reality at the sin in the Garden of Eden. But yet when you get to Revelation, chapter 22, you see that veil is lifted. It says the new heaven has come down, the new earth, the new Jerusalem, which when you look at the dimensions of it, is bigger than our planet. I mean, it's another reality. Everything's being made new as God promised, a new heaven, a new earth, and it's called the new Jerusalem. Watch this. And there are gates, and it says God's people will rule and reign with him, and they can go in and out of those gates. Yet the people who have denied him, the wicked, they are outside the gates. I mean, there's all kinds of talk, Andrew, about gates and portals and dimensions and other dimensions. Paul says, look, our battle's not against flesh and blood, but it's against powers, principalities in unseen realms. We know Satan and the demonic operate in those realms. They're oftentimes called spirits, evil spirits, or the spirit of fear, or the spirit of murder, the spirit of, you know, whatever. So, here's what I like telling people, Andrew. I know I've probably blown some people away already, but everything I'm saying is in the Bible. It's just that most of the time we go to church and we get fluff. We just get fluff. We do not get a real understanding of we are fish at the bottom of the ocean. We do not know what we do not know. Yet the Word of God tells us all we can fathom and all we need to know in order to get right with our Creator again so that we can be back in His presence and know everything He knows. I mean, not as God, but the Bible says we will know Him as He is and we will know as He knows. And all that means is we will be restored to our nature like Adam and Eve was. You know, they walked with God in the garden. Look at the temptation. If you'll do this thing, Satan says, you can be like one of us. You can be like the gods, some translations say, with a little g. That's Elohim. That's a word for the angelic realm. Now we know that it also means some of the fallen realm were called Elohim, gods. Thou shalt have no other gods before you. You will not create any graven images of these gods, little g. The book of Deuteronomy says, and these so-called gods, little g, are not gods at all. They are demons, God says in Deuteronomy. So we see it. It's all there, brother. We're told all of this. The whole point of all of this is from Genesis 3, the Garden of Eden, the fall, to Revelation 22. That's what life is all about. The reason this world is in the mess it's in, the reason our bodies are riddled with fallen nature and pain and disease and eventually death, and our world is riddled with crime and rape and murder and mayhem and wars and disease and pestilence and famine and starvation. It's a fallen world. We're outside the curtain that dropped. The Bible says in the Old Testament and New Testament, in the very last days at the return of the Lord, the sky is going to roll up like a scroll, and the stars, and I'm going to add these words, will appear to fall from the sky. I think they're really going to, but what it means is there's a gigantic upheaval, and when the scroll is opened and the curtain is rent from top to bottom like it was at Jesus' sacrifice, and the cherubim that are guarding the whole thing let loose of it, and Jesus Christ has restored everything to the way it was. And for those of us that have just trusted Him by faith, we get to rule and reign with Him. And you know, it's just, we don't know what we don't know. So the bottom line is all of this talk in the Bible about dimensions and portals. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the way. I am the gate. I am the door. Those are words for portals. I'm the portal. Nobody gets to where the Father is unless they come through me. Then in Revelation 1, He said, I hold all the keys to death and life. I hold it all. Well, Colossians 1 says that Jesus is the one who created the universe. See, He doesn't live inside the universe. God doesn't live inside the universe. He created the universe. Now, quantum mechanics tells us there are probably multiple universes. Well, that seems to be what the Bible says when He speaks of throwing Satan and his angels and those that followed Him into outer darkness, into the lake of fire. And you say, okay, well, they're dead. Actually, it says where they will be tormented forever and ever. And then at the restoration of all things, it says outside the gates of the city are the dogs, the liars, the murderers. That means they're still alive. Well, outside the what? The portals. From where? To different dimensions. And the book of Colossians said that Jesus created all this. All things that have been created by Him, for Him. And nothing that has been made without Him. And in Him, all things hold together. So when we come to the scriptures about Spirit, we have to really, really do a deep contextual study, because here's the different spirits. There's the Holy Spirit of God. Then there is the living spirit that we are. God breathed into the nostrils of Adam and he became a living soul, a living spirit. There's something about God's breath, if you will, that's in us all. In our DNA, in his very life, he is the air that we breathe. He is the breath that we breathe, some of the praise songs say. He is the next beat of our heart, brother. He is the next breath we take. When he says stop for Andrew and for Carl, that's it. When he speaks, it's like speaking the sun into existence. He can certainly speak and Carl's breath stops, or Carl's heart stops. He is that spirit of creation that spoke over the womb of Mary. So there is that. And so there's something about the human soul that's directly connected to the throne of God. Now, we can plug that connection up. See, people say, well, I don't believe all that. How can we be connected? Listen, Modern science and even modern technology has cleared a lot of that up for us. Let me just give you an illustration of modern technology. A cell phone. Most people just take it for granted. I mean, three-year-olds, you know, grow up with it. They can operate a cell phone. But what they don't know is how this thing works. It's a black box we hold in our hand. We speak into it. And yet, Andrew, these magical things, and I know people that work on cell phones and are electrical engineers and digital engineers, they think I'm oversimplifying it, and I am. But the bottom line is, 20 or 30 years ago, these things were science fiction. How can it be that we can have a little teeny box in our hand that we can talk into? That box transforms our voice into digital code, shoots it out into space, connects with a tower that takes that digital code, powers it up, sends it to another tower, finds the box that we were calling through a digital code known as a phone number, and then transmits our voice, turns it back into our voice from the digital code so that the person on the other end instantaneously hears us talking and we have a conversation. I call my dear friend Zev Perat from Israel almost every day. We talk to each other almost every day from one side of the world to the other. And it's all done by just talking into a little box and it all the transformation. All right. So I say to people, look, if we can do that, oh, I know engineers can explain it. I've got people laughing at me now saying, we know how that's done. Okay. That's what we'd invented, but only in the last couple of decades has it become ubiquitous. And now little children walk around with them in their hands. We take it for granted, but it's science fiction from just a few decades ago to now. And yet, if we can do that, why cannot the God of the universe who created everything, all the dimensions, all the portals, all the power that holds everything together, why could he have not breathed into humanity and then through that connected us to his throne? Why could he have not turned on certain switches within our RNA DNA system that he invented to allow us to connect with his throne if we so desired, by his spirit who acts as the channel to get us there? Jesus Christ, who intervenes with us before the throne of God because he has shed his blood. The scripture talks about all of this. And so God has. That's why people say, well, you're stupid. You close your eyes and you fold your hands and you call yourself praying. So you're talking to your God. Really, you're just talking to yourself. That's a foolish thing to assume. The Bible is very clear. We're not talking to ourselves. Our spirit connects to his spirit by the Holy Spirit, if we are born again, or even if we're just calling out to him. You don't even have to be born again. I mean, how can you be saved if you can't connect with the throne of God through the Holy Spirit? But there is that connection. The Holy Spirit is the cell tower that connects us. And I know people are saying, I just don't understand it. Well, you understand your cell phone, don't you? If we can do that, why can God, who creates everything, not put us and make us to be receiving and transmitting devices that touch his throne by the power of the air, by the power of his spirit, by the power of his word? Of course we can. And his word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. So when we agree with his word, the Bible says, we're touching his throne. And he honors our life when we stand in his word, when we study his word, when we agree with his word. There's another way. So again, that word spirit is deep and it's rich. There are evil spirits. There are the angelic realm. Sometimes people see them say, I saw a spirit and it turns out it's an angel. The word spirit sometimes is used as ghost, and ghost is used interchangeably in interpretations and translations as spirit. That's incorrect. I mean, when Jesus came walking across the water, they said, oh my gosh, they were terrified. They thought he was a ghost. And some translations say they thought he was a spirit. And he said, look, it's I. He said, look, feel me, touch me. It's me. Well, how can you walk on the water? Well, because I'm God. So there's all of that. So anyway, brother. So the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul addresses a very important question. because in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul talks about at the sounding of the last trumpet, and then we'll be caught up and changed, and everything happens like that, and we will, our bodies will be transformed. And then Paul addresses in 1 Corinthians 15, he talks about the resurrection, how important and central that is to us. Why? Because God put on flesh by the power of the Spirit that overshadowed Mary's womb, and then he secretly, surreptitiously entered into humanity as a baby, fooled Satan, fooled the powers of the earth, delivered himself to the cross. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 says, if the powers of this age had only known, they would not have crucified the Son of God, because it was a trick. It was a trap set from the throne of God. It had to be done. This sacrifice had to be done. Satan thought he was crucifying Jesus. He entered into Judas, Jesus said, and delivered Jesus to the cross. But that's what Jesus wanted all along. He didn't want Satan to find out, lest Satan would thwart the plan of our salvation. So the point is that all of that was done through the Spirit and by the Spirit and through the spirits and the demonic spiritual warfare coming against it, but they couldn't figure it out. And the angelic realm that was standing by, legions of angels standing by. I mean, so that's what Paul's telling us. We don't know what we don't know. Paul was caught up to paradise. And he said, I don't know if I was in my body or out of my body. Well, what does he mean by that? He was in a body is what he knows. He was physical. He was real. He looked down. He could see his hands and fingers. But yet he knew, like a fish cannot live on dry land and see as we see. Yet Paul was in the presence of God. And he had a body and it was physical, but he knew it could not have been his earthly body. And he said, I don't know what I have, but all I know, I was there. But Paul went on to say, the mind has not conceived, the eye has not seen, the ear has not heard what lies ahead for those that know him and love him. He said, that's therefore, I'd rather be absent from my body. Now watch this, and present with the Lord. Well, how can you be present if you don't have your body? Because you get a new one. Because it's real, because we pass from one dimension to another. We go from portal to portal. God, who spoke the body of Adam, who spoke our body into our mother's womb, according to the word of God, can also just speak. And there's a new Andrew and a new Carl, but yet it's us. Why? Because our spirit lives. Our soul lives. That is the breath of God himself. So, why, you know, Jesus told the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. He's, I'm not lying to you. I tell you the truth. Today, this is going to happen. How can that be? They're both hanging in this physical realm on a cross, beaten and bruised and you know, going to have spears in their sides, railroad spikes, size spikes in their hands and feet, crucified. Yet he's told that thief, I promise you, I wouldn't lie to you about this. In just a few seconds, you're going to be transformed. You're coming from the bottom of the ocean. You're going to go see what life is really about, and you're going to see it, and you're going to finally get it, and you're going to understand it. You're going to be with me in paradise very, very soon. He says, just hang on. Trust me. Brother, I could go on and on. I'm sorry. I know you have a lot of things you won't talk about, but that, so you get into all of that about the spirit and who we are. We are spiritual beings living in fleshly bodies temporarily. When Jesus was put in the tomb, did God die? Did Jesus die? Well, physically in this realm, he literally died for us. But what does that mean? What does die mean? Does that mean he ceased to exist, or he was sleeping in his grave? Or no, he told the thief, today, this day, you will be with me in paradise. We're going to be alive instantaneously. And that's why Paul said, who experienced that, he said, look, I'd rather be absent from this body and present with the Lord. Present how? In a body. But it's not the body you left on earth. No, it's not. Think about the people that die in shipwrecks. Think about the people that are eaten by sharks and whales. Think about the people that are burnt up. Think about the people in war that are just left out in the woods and wolves eat them. You know, you say, oh my gosh, we don't have the body. He's cursed forever. He doesn't have, no, that's all just flesh. It's dirt and it goes away. But we instantly live and we account for what we did with Jesus Christ. So there's all of that to consider, brother, and so much more. I'm going to hush, but that gave you the general overview of why I try to help people see we don't know what we don't know. But the Bible tells us more than we can handle. The problem is most preachers and teachers never even get there. Therefore, most Christians never even understand it. And therefore, life is a big mystery to most Christians when it doesn't have to be. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9, Paul told us, he said, look, the mystery of God's will has been made manifest to us. That is, he is in the process of bringing everything in heaven and everything on earth back together again under one head, Jesus Christ. And how does Revelation 22 end? But a new heaven, new earth, new paradise, new Garden of Eden, the tree of life is there, the river of life is there, the throne of God is there, and there are gates, and we can come and go through those gates, these gates that surround this new planet that's as big or bigger than the earth. And where are we going to go when we go? Well, we're going to other dimensions, I guess. Well, what are we going to do? We're going to rule and reign with Jesus over what? Whatever he has created or whatever he's going to create. We don't know what we don't know. And I want to say this, and then I'll turn it back over to you. But in 1 Corinthians 15, I was going there and I forgot. But so Paul answers the question. He says, now, some of you are saying, with what kind of bodies will they come? Meaning those that return with Jesus Christ, those that have left before us, those we said they died. Well, Jesus died, but 3 days later, here he is again. Well, what happened? He went from one dimension to another. And he came back to show us, and he told the disciples, because I live, you shall live also. Do you understand now? Do you believe? That's why he raised Lazarus just a week or two before he died, to show them, look, I've got power over this. I can. That's why I told the thief, I'm going to do for you what I did for Lazarus. You're going to be in paradise really quickly. I'm the creator of it all. I've got the keys to it all. I know all the doorways and portals. I made them. And so... So, brother, most people sitting on church pews are freaking out right now. I mean, you know, their hair's pinned back. They're saying, oh, my gosh, that preacher's crazy. Actually, I'm just telling you what God's word says. You've just never heard it before, or you've never studied it that deeply, but it's right there in God's word. And so when the church at Corinth asked Paul, what kind of bodies will we come? Remember Paul's answer? I'm going to paraphrase it, but he said, how foolish are you? He says, do you not know that humans have one kind of bodies? Fish have another kind of bodies. Birds have another kind of bodies. He said, yet they all have bodies. They're all physical, but they're each one are equipped for the environment in which they live. Birds live up in the air, basically. They can fly. Fish live under the water. They swim. They breathe that. We live on earth. We all have bodies, flesh and blood, physical, but they are different to be equipped for what we are. All right, so when we leave this realm in death, like Jesus did, and like the thief on the cross did, we instantly step into the next realm in life. Paul tasted of it. John tasted of it, Revelation 4. Paul said, I don't know if I was in my body or not. All I know is I had a body. Okay, so, and Paul answers. He says, you ask what kind of body? He says, don't you know God can read? He can do all of this. And he says, you don't even have to worry about it. When Jesus returns, if we're still here and alive, and we will be caught up at the return of Jesus and the hosts that come, the heavenly host dressed in linen, Revelation 19 says, that's the angelic host. It's also those that have been around the throne during the wrath of God, worshiping him for his righteousness. They come back. And Paul says, you ask how they come back? They come back when you see them. It's like seeing Jesus come out of the grave. You see real people that you know and recognize, but they are now in glorified bodies. They're physical, they are real, but they will never die, and they are glorified. And so Paul answers that question. But again, you seldom hear this from pulpits in America. It's really a shame at what's happened to the preaching in America. All of this stuff, the classical scholars know about it. Andrew, they write about it, but you know, the church has gotten away from the classical understanding of God's word. We've gotten into the fluff of how to get rich and how to feel good about ourselves and how God just loves us. No, doesn't matter if we just sin every day and wallow in it. Yeah, he loves us, but very seldom do you hear anything said about, listen, you need to get right. That sin's going to destroy you. No, it's just, no, God loves you like you are. Don't worry about it. You know, that's not what the Bible says. We've gotten so far away from the classical understanding of who we are, who God is, what he's up to, where this is all headed, and why, and what our part is in it now. Does all of that make sense to you, Andrew?
That makes a lot of sense. That was very eloquent, Pastor. I really enjoyed that. Now, I'm going to say that I tell people that we talk about Jesus and coming back in a form of a human, like what, like us, why would he do that rather than come back as a spirit, or, you know, the spirit of God, or how he appeared to Moses on the mountain? The big question I have for people is why would he not come back to a people that's not enlightened, a people that see each other as humans? The only way you could relate in that, especially in that day and age, they didn't have all the technology. I think if God came back as a puff of smoke right now, we would appreciate it, but not back in that day. Now, my big thing is that I tell people is, you know, the science, it's one of the things that's killing us right now, because the science has a chance right now. We have such an opportunity to actually prove our faith, that we don't want to need to prove anything. Obviously, the faith is faith, but we could prove what, you know, our existence is. Yet we're so restricted, and because what happens is science is restricted to what God allows us to see and to use. There's, you know, there's no opportunity to see the next realm because we can't perceive that.
Right.
But I'm going to ask you a question. Now, I'm going to go off on a tangent. It's going to all be related. This is the big question. This is the big question, Pastor. So why, in Genesis, in the beginning, God created. Why? And you'll have the next. We want to end with the where we're headed towards when everything ends, if we have the time to do so. Why would an almighty, ever-present, omnipotent being such as God be so interested in creating a persnickety, arrogant, sanctimonious group of beings such as us that are going to annoy him till the end of time? Why would he do that? And let's look at why the creation, so to speak. Okay. I'm going to throw that one back at you and have some fun with that.
Yeah, okay. Listen, that's the whole message of the Bible. I've written about this. I preach and teach on it. I've got several books that addresses that question deeply. So I'll give my fairly shallow answer to the question, but it will answer it. Bottom line is, the Bible's clear. We and the angels have been created in God's image. Every other living thing is glorious and is filled with the majesty and presence of God's creative power, but they are not created in his image. Even the animals, even the monkeys and the chimps, they're amazing. They're almost humanoid, but we are like gods to them. We've gone to the moon and back. We fly around in spaceships. They still swing in trees and eat bananas. So we're like gods, even though they kind of look like us and can act like us. And oh, they're so cute. And look, he looks like a little human. Yeah, but he's not. He's not. He's not anywhere near us. All right, so God created us in his image. He created the angelic realm before us, by the way, Job says, in his image. Now, what does in his image mean? Does that mean we're little gods? No. It means there's something about God, watch this, that is creative, that he communicates, he feels, he thinks, he dreams, he plans. He has power in his word. He has power in his hands. So he gave us a little bit of that because we're his children. It's like when you and I, why do you and I get married and have children? And then why do they grow up and want to get married and have children? There's something about the ability to take a part of us and turn it into another human being. And we can see a mirror of ourselves. And even in this lost world, we fall in love with these kids. We would murder somebody for those kids, and grandkids and great grandkids and on. I mean, it's just something. He's implanted that in us. The Bible says he created us because he loved us. People say, well, I don't understand that. Well, why'd you have kids? Why'd you have grandkids? I mean, what do you do with the grandkids and the great grandkids? I mean, don't you adore them? Don't you love them? Don't you just marvel over their presence here on earth? And they came out of your body and your flesh and your genetics and through your children and your children's children. How is this? All right. So we've got a little piece of that in us, Andrew, and God created us and the angels in his image. We can, not like God, we can't just speak something into existence. Even Satan can't do that. And that infuriates Satan. That's another whole study. But he gave us the ability to think, to envision something, and then to eventually bring it to life, to create it. I mean, look at the technological explosion we have now, the doubling of information that happens every several months. And they claim in the next few years, information is going to double every 13 hours. Within the next decade or so. That's unbelievable to even think about. I can't imagine nothing but evil coming out of that. But anyway, that's who we are. We can think of something in our mind. That's why God pushed the reset button on Noah's day. He said, whatever they think of, they can do. And he says, and it's tainted by their sin nature. And so he pushed the reset button and killed everybody unless they, you know, got under the blood and, or if so to speak, came into the ark and Noah was preaching. And of course it wound up just being Noah and his family. But the bottom line is God always offers a way out. But so the angelic realm, part of them, rebelled. All right. Now, why is this? So see, the animal kingdom, the insect kingdom, the earth kingdom, the creation groans. They didn't rebel against God. They were victims of the fall of the angelic and human realms that were right up next to the throne of God from the beginning, right up next to God's throne, Adam and Eve. You know, the temptation that was presented to Adam and Eve, you could be like us. And people say, well, you know, you mean Adam and Eve walked with the angels and walked with God? Well, the Bible says that they walked with God in the cool of the evening. So yes, how they walk with it? Well, he was in the flesh. He was relating to man as a man. In the same way, Abraham looked up and saw three men coming. We keep reading, we find out two of them are angels. The other one is God himself. It's a theophany. And that happens several times in the Bible. God puts on flesh. He put on flesh and came as a baby child to go to the cross. I mean, he can do that. Why? He's the creator of it all. He does what he wants to do. He's got the power to do it. So we go all the way back to the garden. And when Satan said, you can be like us, sometimes people say, well, didn't Adam and Eve, weren't they confused? No, Adam and Eve didn't say, what do you mean us? You got a frog in your pocket? No, they never said. They knew exactly what he meant. They fellowshipped with the angelic realm. God's throne was there. That's what he created. The angels were with him when he created. They sang for praise at the day of the creation. And then they got to fellowship with us and us with them and God with us. And we were going to rule and reign with him. But now to your question. So why, and this is a good question. So why did this all happen? Couldn't have God have stopped it? Here's the deal. Just like, Andrew, you do not want your children and grandchildren crawling up into your lap as little ones, hugging you and kissing you and saying, I love you, only because you had to push a button on their back to make them do it. Or you had to pull strings because really they're just puppets. Or because you had just threatened them with an inch of their life that if they did not act like they loved you, you would just get rid of them. No. What thrills your soul is when these little ones truly love you and they get up in your lap and they say, Papa, I love you so much. And they hug you and they kiss you and to the point of embarrassment. And that kind of love is what God has for us. And that's what he wants us to have for him. The only way that kind of love can be expressed, watch this, those kids have to have the freedom of will to do it or to reject it. Otherwise, they're just an animal. Or a puppet or a robot. God does not want that from the angelic realm or from the human realm. He made animals for us. He made the fish for us. He made the birds of the air for us. He didn't make us for them. He made us for him. And he does not want us to be a mere animal. And he does not want to have to push a button on our back. He could have made us like that, little humanoids. Little robots and we walk around, you know, and I love you. I love you. I worship you. No, but he just wanted us to love him just because we do. That's why, you know, when we come to Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit and we surrender our lives, we repent, we say, I'm coming back to you. My heavenly daddy is what we're saying. And I want to come home and the prodigal son and kill the fatted calf, put the robe on me, put the ring on my finger, daddy, I'm home and I love you. And so anyway, that's why God did it that way. Angels rebelled and they had the option to do that. There is no, that I see in the scriptures now, if God chooses to do it and he doesn't tell us about it, that's up to him. But in the scriptures, there is no salvation for the angels that fell. Well, why is that? Because they were already in a state of eternal life and they were already in the state of being at the throne of God and they rebelled anyway and followed the darkness and the evil of Satan's heart. Ezekiel 28 says that God put Satan in the Garden of Eden Eden as the guardian cherub. And he tells Satan, he said, "You're the most beautiful thing I ever created. You're the most intelligent thing. Your whole body was a musical instrument." I mean, it literally says that. And by the way, ours is too. I mean, we can sing. We sing from our head, our nose, our throat, our chest. Some people can take a microphone, make it sound like instruments and, you know, beat boxes and all that. Well, we're falling. Imagine Satan, a cherubim, one of the worship leaders of heaven. His whole body was an instrument. Can you imagine the living creatures? That's what a cherubim is Ezekiel 10 says, that in Ezekiel 1, that it's the cherubim are the living creatures. Can you imagine? That's why Paul said, you haven't heard, you haven't seen, you don't know what you don't know. So the point is, he created even the angelic realm with this ability to just love him, to crawl up in his lap and love him, for him to love them back, and for them to rule and reign over any and everything he decides to create forever and ever. See, we think of God as too small. What if he's created a million universes? I mean, I'm just throwing this out there. And what if they're all filled with people or angels or nations to rule over? Well, what are we? We're going to rule and reign with him. Now, I'm just making this up off the top of my head, but I mean, he can God do that? Yes. Does he speak of gates of the city and we go in and out of the gates? Yes, he does. Revelation 22. Does he speak of ruling and reigning with him forever? Yes, he does. Does he speak of ruling on this earth over the nations for a while? Yes, it does. So all of that's coming. We know that, but we don't know the depths of it. We have no clue. So there had to be a boot camp, Andrew. I said all of that to say this. There had to be a weeding out process. You know, the tares and the wheat. There had to be, since we are not animals, we're not robots, we're not puppets, we had to be tested. And did God know Satan was going to do all this? Yeah. Well, why did he let Satan do it? Because we are not robots. We are not the angelic realm. Some of it left with him. The human realm, we left with him. We're paying the price, but God has restored it through Jesus Christ. The mystery of his will has been revealed, Ephesians 1:9 says. Everything in heaven that's in paradise behind the curtain, and everything that's on earth now is all going to be redeemed. It's going to be brought back together under one head, Jesus Christ. So that's why, Andrew, I mean, that's the short answer, truly. I've written whole books on this. I preach and teach on it. I could teach for hours, but I'm just kind of trying to get to the point. I know some people are laughing right now and say, it doesn't sound like you got to the point to me. You talk for 30 minutes. Yeah, but this is a deep subject. This is the message of God's word from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22 and whatever the last verse is. I can't remember the number, but that's the message of God's word. And so that's why, and that's who we are. We are fallen. The whole creation is fallen. The whole creation groans, longing for the day. There is a heaven. There is a hell. There is a lake of fire. There is an eternal judgment. There is life forever and ever. I tell people all the time, I can guarantee you, according to God's word, when you die, you will live forever, regardless of what you did with Jesus Christ. It's just a matter of where you're going to live. You're going to live in this dimension, ruling and reigning with the Lord. Are you going to be locked out, thrown into another dimension, the lake of fire, where the Bible says they're tormented day and night? That doesn't mean God has torture chambers and angels that are torturing people. It just means they're cut off forever from God's presence, and they live in the evil with the evil that they created forever, and there's no way back. I mean, I can't even imagine. I can't even wrap my mind around that. And again, Paul says, you don't know what you don't know. Paul saw it. John, the Revelator, saw it. And both of these guys fell at the feet of the angels that were revealing it to them. And they kept saying, stand up, don't worship us. I mean, you know, we're just fellow servants with you. We just came from behind the veil, but we've been here all along. And I mean, that's what the Bible says. Does all of that help, Andrew?
That it does. And it's right on target. I'm going to throw you another loop, though, because we've talked all about this process. One of the questions I have is, in the realm of the Bible and the Bible story, now, could our Bible be the Bible for this planet? And could there be other beings and other civilizations out there? Now, for all we've done, for all of our scientists have done, and for all the searching, there's no sign whatsoever that there's any signals coming from anywhere, that they could be totally different and alien to us. I mean, again, science is just that, exactly. We're so narrow-minded. But could the Bible have been written for us to understand God in our realm, since we don't need to understand other planets or other universes even? Could there be other beings somewhere out there? And would it be in our realm, or would it be in another realm entirely?
Okay, could there be? It would be pure heresy to say, no, there could not be. That would be like a fish at the bottom of the ocean telling another fish, there cannot be any other life around us. There cannot be. There cannot be, but there are. There are 8 billion humans, 27 million species of life on this ball alone, not counting whatever else might be out there. All right, so could there be? Yes, there could be. So, well, who created it? Why did he create it? Well, God did. God created everything. Jesus did. It says everything that has been created, Colossians 1, everything that has been created by him, for him, and through him. And in him, it all holds together. Now, I want to address this thing about what we know and what we don't know. Now that we, just in the last 100 years, we've cracked the doors of quantum physics and quantum mechanics. In the last 100 years of 10,000 years of human history, only 100 years, a little speck, have we begun to understand this. In the last 20 or 30 years, we've really cracked the door even wider, and we're seeing things that terrify us. CERN Hadron Collider in CERN, Switzerland. China's building one even bigger. They hope to have it done by 2030. It does a lot of things. It collides particles of atomic structures, and of course they're looking for nuclear weapons and better weapons. But a lot of good technologies come out of that too. Lasers and MRI and other technologies have come out of our understanding of quantum mechanics. Quantum computing is right around the corner. In fact, it's already here, but it's not ubiquitous yet. It's going to make what we do now and the cell phones and computers we have now look like ancient stuff. You know how when we laugh when we look at people with pagers or those old cell phones that, you know, Tom Selleck used to have that looked like big boxes and radios, you know, we laugh and everything. Well, that's people going to laugh at what we're using right now, just a decade from now, because of quantum computing. So all of that is happening. And the point being that we don't know what we don't know. But what we do know from CERN, and I've got this in several of my books quoted from the people who are bigwigs at CERN. I even have web pages from the CERN website that say a bunch of what I'm getting ready to say. They have a whole section devoted to multiple universes, multiple dimensions of reality, they call it, that they know, they say they know exist. Now, they don't know how to get to the portals. They don't know where the doorways are, and they're looking for them desperately. And they say, and I've got these quotes from these guys, and I've got it all referenced in my books, that they're looking for the portals so that they can open the door and see what comes out. That's their words. And or see what they can put in. That's their words. You know, Paul warned us about in Ephesians 6, says, look, there are unseen realms. There are unseen principalities. There's pure evil in those places. There's darkness in those places. In fact, that's where our battle comes from. It's like the fish at the bottom of the sea. They cannot come to the earth and affect Andrew's life or Carl's life. They cannot. But Andrew and Carl, properly equipped and properly trained, we can get in the submarine. We can go down to them and mess their world up. Well, there's a picture of the demonic realm, the spiritual realm. They can come into our world and mess us up, but we cannot go into their world, not in this body. We cannot do it. But we will be equipped to go anywhere we want to go and yet still have a body. Paul says that. Jesus says that. The Bible says that. Revelation 21 and 22 say that. So all of that is where it is headed. But so CERN Hadron Collider knows there are multiple dimensions. They know there are other realities. They're not sure if any being lives in them. The Bible says they do. And in case people are freaking out, just remember the fish at the bottom of the ocean and us. Okay. Don't sit here as a human and say, that's impossible. You guys are idiots. All right. You sound like a couple of fish at the bottom of the ocean thinking that we don't exist. Okay, be careful. We don't know what we don't know. But the Bible tells us these things if we're able to handle them. All right, now, just in the last 10 years, brother, now we're seeing, and we don't know what it is yet, and everybody's speculating, but it's on Fox News. It's written up in USA Today, Newsweek, all the mainstream media. Books and movies are being done about it. I've got a bunch of it in my books. It's all quoted. Brother, we're seeing phenomena now. Our U.S. Navy, they're seeing what they're calling real UFOs. I mean, these things are defying the laws of physics. They're defying the laws of gravity. We've got video footage of them for the last 10 years. They're considered national security risk, maybe global security risk. They speculated that it might be technology from other nations, but these things defy the laws of nature. And no nation on the planet has anything like that unless they have pierced the realms and opened the doors. Maybe something that's with CERN, maybe something that's with China. China is desperately trying to get their hands on this. I mean, brother, this is like at the end of World War II or in World War II, when we brought all over those Jewish, Russian, Jewish, German scientists, Oppenheimer and those guys. They had cracked the code and how to split atoms and how to have atom bombs, or what we now call nuclear weapons. That's romper room compared to what our scientists are working with now. What have they opened? Have they opened portals? They said they wanted to. Revelation chapter 9 talks about the abyss being opened in the last days and all kinds of unbelievable godless darkness coming out of it. And it's all handed by an angelic being that has the key. His name is Abaddon or Apollyon, which means the destroyer. That's in the word of God. In the last days, it said that's going to be a demonic outpouring. Something's going to come out of a door, a portal, an abyss. It's going to pollute the earth. I mean, Jesus said it's going to be just like the days of Noah. What do we find in Genesis? The sons of God came unto the daughters of men, had children by them, giants, terror filled the land, and God killed everything. So something huge is getting ready to happen. So we say, is there life on other planets? I don't know about that, but I know there is other life besides us in the universe. You say, Carl, how do you know that? The Bible tells us. It's called the demonic realm. See, we've turned it into children's fluff stories, little ghosts and wisps and smoke. And well, that's the spiritual realm. Well, what do you think that is? Where did Jesus tell the thief they were going to go to paradise? What's that? Little ghosty, wispy, you know, no, it's another realm through the portal. Who is Jesus? Who has the keys? Who created it all? So, you know, we're living in a time, brother, we're living in the most prophetic days since the first coming of Jesus Christ. We now have hard evidence that there's something else. CERN knows it. China knows it. Our U.S. military knows it. You know, they obfuscate, they cover up. Everybody gets on the internet and says, Gallups and Andrew, they're crazy. It's not that. That's just some kind of weapon system. Well, it might be, but even our own military says, well, we don't have it, and we're the number one superpower on the planet. It would take the next four superpowers to combine their powers to have the power we have right now. And the nations know it. Russia knows it. China knows it. They hate us for it. And we don't have the technology that we're watching and we're getting video recordings of. Our fighter jets can't even keep up with them. These things go up, they go down, they go sideways, they go under the water, they come up, they go straight up into the heavens, they disappear completely out of sight instantaneously. And they're talking about this on Fox News and they're showing the videos of it. So something's going on, brother. The Bible says there would be signs in the heavens, signs in the skies. What we would call miraculous signs, being able to call down fire from the heavens with a voice, the Antichrist. Well, that could be something that we don't even know about. It could be something totally supernatural, or it could be something totally technologically that we don't know about yet. We're already calling down fire from the heavens right now, Andrew. We've got guys sitting in underground bunkers in the deserts of Nevada and Arizona that are watching on screens right now, people on the other side of the world that are our enemies. They're watching them with satellites, and they've got drones in the air that can fire hellfire missiles through a pipe from a push of a button in a desert in Nevada underground bunker. They literally can call down fire from the heaven and destroy people or facilities with the voice of a man giving the command. Well, that's only been available in the last 20 years. Prior to that, it was science fiction, except the Bible said in the last days, they will be able to call fire from heaven. Now, is it that, or is it something even bigger than that that we don't know yet? Could be, but I'm just trying to help your audience understand the Word of God does not have to catch up to the truth of our culture. The truth of our culture is always catching up to the Word of God. The problem is most pulpits never address any of this. Therefore, most Christians, unless they're watching and listening to our shows, reading our books, tuning in, studying on their own, they never hear this. They don't have any idea that everything we're talking about, to one degree or the other, is in the Word of God.
Wow. Phenomenal. While you were saying that, I was thinking of Revelation. There's a lot in Revelation. A lot of it is taken to be metaphorical, but
no.
Yeah, but yeah. You look at it, and I saw the right hand of him that sat on the throne, a scroll written within and on the back sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll, to loose its seals?" And no man in heaven, not on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the scroll, neither to look at it. Think about that. I mean, that is just...
Yep. Only the Lamb can do it. He is right. He's the one that created it. He's the one that has the keys, and he's getting ready to bring it all to culmination. The restitution of all things is underway, brother, and we're living in the midst of it, and most of the church in America doesn't even have a clue.
Now, I'm seeing an omnipresent evil, not just in our country, but across the world, and it seems to be united in its mission, I guess. What do you see as the evil that's perpetrating across the entire world right now?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I write about it in books. I preach it and teach it all the time. That's what separates us. People say, well, there's always been evil in the world and blah, 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 blah. And we've always had wars and, yeah. Except we've never lived in the world in which Israel has returned, a 2,800-year-old prophecy, in which Jerusalem has been restored to Israel. Only happened 3 or 4 years ago, a 2,800-year-old prophecy, in which the nations of Ezekiel 38 are beginning to align against that return to Israel, just like the Word of God said 2,800 years ago. We've never lived in a world that has had an explosion, an exponential explosion of technological advancements. Never. Except for our lifetime, just the last little 100 years, really the last 20 years, but started about 100 years ago, just one little generation ago. And we're it, brother, we're it. And now the whole world can communicate instantaneously, information communication systems. In fact, traveling, brother, we can't do it instantaneously yet, although CERN Hadron Collider is trying to figure that out. How can we stick somebody in a portal and they instantaneously show up on the other side of the world? They're working on that now, brother. They believe they can do it. I don't know if God will let them or not, but instantaneous information communication systems we have. And so the whole world now speaks with one voice. This has never happened in the history of the planet. People say, oh yeah, World War I and World War II. No. All of that took decades to culminate and decades to end, and because we didn't have instantaneous information communication systems. Now we do. So a virus hits, and I'm not making the virus out to be the Antichrist or the end of all things, but let's just use this little example. I think the world powers used it to groom the world and to test the world for sure. They might have even created it on purpose, but let's just say it was an accident. Then it was used. And so what happened is almost overnight, the global powers started telling humanity, their own citizens, to heck with Constitution and freedom of right. You can't go here. You can't go there. You can't say this. You can't do that. You can't go to church. You can't sing. We'll tell you when you can go back to church. We'll tell you if you can go back. We'll tell you how many people can go. We'll tell you if you can sing or not. We'll tell you if you have to wear masks, if you have to draw lines on the floor 6 feet apart. I find that interesting, right? A bunch of 6666s all over the place, stores and churches. I mean, brother, it's unbelievable. 6 feet apart. Why not 7? Why not 8? I don't know. That's weird, but I just think about that, brother. We're just living in such prophetic times. And so with one voice, yes, I wrote about it in the book, The Summoning. I opened up by saying, look, in 2020, something snapped. Something spiritual snapped. Something happened worldwide where the governments with one voice started speaking almost like the Antichrist. So I see it coming, brother. I mean, it's just coming. Like you said, it's a spirit of darkness that's sweeping the planet that, according to the word of God, is eventually going to ultimately culminate in a human being, apparently, whom Satan, the dragon, has given its power, who will rule over a beast system with 10 kings alongside of them and a religious system that will hook up with it. I mean, it's all right there in the book of Revelation. I know some of that is subject to various interpretations, so I'm not going to try to act like I know every jot and tittle, but I can see the general picture, and I'm looking, and all of those general things are happening right now and only in our generation on a global basis. So yeah, brother, I say this till I'm blue in the face. Most of the church in America looks at me, shakes her head, and goes, yeah, you're right, you're right. Okay, hey, dear, is that ball game on tonight? Let's go over here. And then they forget. And what I say is, we're living the most prophetic time since the first coming of Jesus Christ. See, how is it that the Pharisees missed Jesus? How is it that they, in the name of God, crucified the Son of God in the city of God, outside the temple gates of God, and walked away slapping each other on the back, thinking they had done God a favor after God in the flesh had walked among them for 3 years, healed the sick, opened the eyes of the blind, walked on the waves in the water, fed 10,000 witnesses with a couple of fish and loaves of bread, raised people from the dead, and yet they still missed him and crucified the Son of God, thinking they were doing God a favor. How do they miss it? Well, in case we get too, bum-fuzzled over that, how's the church missing right now? What's happening right now, brother? Right now. The stuff you and I are talking about, 90% of the church doesn't have a clue. Doesn't have a clue.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And the other thing about right now is the fact that, you know, when I was a kid and I read the Bible and I read about the revelations again, that the whole world was going to see this at once. I go, well, God can do that because God's, you know, omnipotent and everything. But you know what? I think it has more prophetic meaning than that. I think now is the time, like you said, it's the only time that communications will allow the whole world to see all of what's going on everywhere in the entire world. But what gets me more concerned is looking at the churches that are out there, looking at all of the churches, there is not one that I can find. There are very few. Let's put it that way. You know, maybe the Amish or the Mennonite, there's very few that are not in direct violation of the Ten Commandments of God, allowing, you know, wanton fornication and killing of babies and promoting that and saying that you can do that. Even the Pope was saying that. It's insane. I mean, have you ever, we've never seen something like this. Crazy.
Not only that, brother, but look, winking their eye at gay marriage when God says, Jesus said in Matthew 19, verse 4, he said, have you not known from the beginning? God created them male and female. There are no other genders. Do not mess with these little babies, these little ones about their gender. It'll be better if you have a millstone tied around your neck. God created a man and a woman. The man will leave his family, cling to his wife. The two will become one flesh, and whatever God has created and put together, do not let man mess with it. Brother, we have not only messed with it in America, we're spitting on it. We've stolen the symbol of the rainbow. Churches never talk about it. We wink at it. Some churches and denominations even support marriage now and gender identity and gender fluidity. And maleness is being trashed. Femaleness is being trashed. Childhood is being trashed. I mean, brother, we're in the last days. We're in the days of Noah and the days of Lot. Jesus said in Luke 17 and Matthew 24, the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah and just like the days of Lot. And we are there.
Well, I don't know about you, but I feel it closing in, and it's so concerning. You know, being a minister myself and trying to minister to people to pray that they come back to the Bible, to the Ten Commandments, if nothing else. I mean, the Ten Commandments are the meat and potatoes of the Bible. If you're going to violate them, you know, how are you going to end up in the hands of God? Well, you're going to violate those Ten Commandments, which are the most important things. There are rules put in place along the way. There's a lot of rules. If we try to follow all the rules of the Bible, you know, what would Jesus do, so to speak? But if you can't follow the Ten Commandments, brother, I don't think we're going anywhere. I mean, these people are not going to go anywhere.
Well, you know, what's funny about that, I've been in the ministry a long time now. And before that, I was a cop and criminal investigator. So my mind kind of thinks this way. But I'll have people sometime try to, you know, get in my face and attack me about some jot and tittle of the word or interpretation, or usually it's around eschatology, pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. Yeah, you believe this, you believe that, that's heresy. And I'll stop them and I'll say, wait a minute, name the Ten Commandments, name them in order, and tell me the two places that they are found in the scriptures. They can't do any of that. These are the same people that are trying to tell me about eschatology and charts and graphs and maps and how God's going to do it and what's going to happen. And I'm a heretic if I don't know. They don't even know. They can't even. And then I just say, well, listen, name the Ten Commandments out of order. Just name them. Most of them can't even do that. I ask them where it is, you know, and they can't. It's crazy. It's Exodus, you know, it's Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5. I mean, but they don't know that. And so, and then again, Jesus repeats, five of them, in the New Testament in Matthew. And so, but they don't know that. So, but yet they all think they're experts about God's word and they don't even know the Ten Commandments. And if they did, they don't even understand the importance. The first one, thou shalt have no other, and the English word is gods, little g, and a lot of people think, yeah, that's what those pagans do. They got little statues, you know, the second commandment, don't build graven images. Hello, statues, that's for the pagans, that's not for us. And then some preachers say, no, that means you can make a god out of your truck, and you can worship your truck and worship fishing and your hobby. Well, kind of, sort of, but that's, none of that is what it's talking about. Deuteronomy says these so-called gods, they are demons. And what he's saying is, don't build any landing pads for them. You know, don't be gathering around in these seances and going to the astrology charts and the Ouija boards. Those things don't have any power in them. But when you summons the demons, and they're real. Paul said, be careful. You know, you got to suit up against this. There are unseen realms and there's darkness and wickedness in those places. Discern, you know, collider. They know there are different dimensions. They're looking for the portals to go in and out of them. The Bible tells us about the spiritual realm, the demonic realm. And God's first two commandments are about, don't immerse yourself in pornography or hatred or murderous thoughts or adulterous thoughts or all of these things. Why? Because those are landing pads for the demonic infiltration and incursion of your life, your family, your ministry, your home, your marriage, the nation, the world. Do not do this. That's what those two commandments are about. 99% of the church never goes that deep, though, when you ask them. They don't even know where they are, brother. And yet they want to tell me and you that we're heretics because we don't believe some little ism and schism that they have on a PowerPoint and a chart that they saw some preacher teach one day. I'm telling you, bro, it makes me want to pull my hair out.
Pastor Carl Gallup, so what, pleasure to have you here again tonight. And we're running kind of long, and I think people are going to start turning us off if we don't make another session.
That's a sweet way of telling me I'm talking too much. I'm sorry.
I'm going to tell you, people have a short attention span, so we need to do this again. We're going to have to nip another topic. Are we on? Are we good for that?
I'm good for it, brother. It's like I told you when we started, I could talk about this for hours. I'm afraid I did. I'm sorry.
No, it was phenomenal. You went exactly where I was hoping you would go. We stayed on track and on topic. God bless you. You are a wonderful person, and I'm glad you can be with us and with my audience who really needs to learn and know and understand these things. Would you mind us closing in a prayer? Would you want to close a prayer?
Yeah, I'd be glad to. And listen, when I talk about 90% of the church doesn't know this or know that, I'm not pulling that out of my back pocket, brother. I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah, even the latest surveys show that. And it's just a sad thing. And I'm not being judgmental. I'm not saying like you and I know everything. And no, I'm still learning. I'm having to tweak my life. I got to repent before God. But I'm just saying what's breaking my heart. I'm like Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah, watching everything fall apart into sexual perversion, and my next door neighbors don't even see it. That's what I'm talking about.
No, absolutely.
And so that's all I mean when I say that. I'm not condemning pastors. There's a lot of pastors, thousands, that teach and preach and understand the word like you and I do. The problem is there are tens and tens and tens of thousands that don't. And that's what breaks my heart. But anyway, let me pray, okay? Okay. Father, I pray that in all of this, you have opened eyes and opened hearts. If I've said anything that is wrong, I pray that you, by your Holy Spirit, would take it out of the minds and hearts and the memories of those that precious ones that have been listening. Anything that I've said that has come close to the truth that would help people to know your word better, Lord, let them mull over it. Let it be imprinted upon their brain and their heart by your Spirit. Thank you for Andrew. Bless him and his ministry. Thank you for his graciousness. I pray for the lost. I pray for the brokenhearted. I pray for those that need delivering. I pray that those that need to come back to you, the prodigals, and I pray that you would work all of that in the power and the miracle of your Holy Spirit, even tonight because of this broadcast. I lift it up to you. Use it for your glory and bless Brother Andrew in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. And let's plan it to do this again. It's absolutely wonderful. We have some great topics. We got so much to talk about. We have to do it before the revelation comes, Pastor, before the end comes.
Yeah. So. Well, you know, and I'll tell you this too. The Bible's, you know, it is inexhaustible. So, but I do love talking about it and doing studies like this, but also, I mean, from those listening right now, just say, you know, send your questions to Brother Andrew and I'll try to, I mean, he's the host, so whatever he says, but I'll answer whatever he brings to the pulpit here, and we'll talk about it. So I appreciate it, Andrew. I really do.
Thank you so much. EternalAffairsMedia.com. You can find us to send your comments and ask to be brought up on Pastor Carl's interviews. Well, hopefully we'll have another one very soon. With that, we're going to close tonight, Pastor. It's been absolutely wonderful. I'm going to give a little good night music here, and we'll see you on the next go round. How's that sound?
Okay, thank you.
God bless you. Good night. Thanks again. God bless you.